I'm sorry, Tony Robbins, as well as Richard Branson, will give anybody that comes in to help him build a company, they will give them ownership in that, with the ability to increase that level of ownership, because what that does is it causes that person to want to step up. It develops the entrepreneurial mindset and allows them to take ownership in the company. That's a magical strategy. Now, that's a strategy that you get. That's more of a macro strategy. It's a larger, it's not the micro strategy. It's not the order and sequence of the internal and external representations, but it's a strategy that they do. That's what we would call a macro strategy. Okay, another macro business strategy of Rupert Murdoch is that he does the Blue Book at the end of every week. He gets the financial statements of each and every company that he owns, and he owns 700. He's able to look at that Blue Book and see exactly where the expenditures are as well as the income. That's a macro strategy that we could use if we want to increase our ability to have an understanding of the financial nature of our business. That's a great strategy to incorporate. Another macro strategy of Richard Branson is the whole way that he does his branded venture capitaling, branded venture capital, where he places the name of his business on other businesses that other entrepreneurs bring to him. Another macro strategy of Richard Branson is by having a holding company. Like, he has the name Virgin. The name Virgin, he has a holding company for that name in the Virgin Islands that's a tax-free. So every time the name Virgin goes on anything, that company or that cola or whatever it's on has to pay money to the holding company in the Virgin Islands in order to use the name. And so Richard Branson is building a pot of money for himself, billions of dollars worth. Nobody actually knows quite how much is out there. But he's building this money on the side while simultaneously running the businesses, which is essentially tax-free. So all of these types of macro strategies, we begin to look at who do we want to model, whether it be world leaders or spiritual leaders or a Gandhi. You look at the macro strategies of a Gandhi, you know. If who is it that you want to be more like? Is it a singer? Is it an author? Is it a writer? Is it a television producer? Because when we find this stuff out, you look at Steven Spielberg. Steven Spielberg spent his time, where was he? At the studios from a very young age. He snuck into the studios and he hung out at the studios, modeling the best. Modeling the best of the best. The best of the best modeled the best of the best. They looked to them to find out things. Now, we have skill sets that none of them had. We have tools that none of them had. So we can do it much quicker. Oprah Winfrey herself said when she was, she said it was by being on, when she was filming The Color Purple, she went to Steven Spielberg's production studio. She went to Amblin Entertainment, which was Steven Spielberg's production studios, and she said she got her idea for Harpo Productions by being inspired by Spielberg. She looked at that and she said, wow. She said, if he did this, I can do it too. So it was through modeling Steven Spielberg that she launched Harpo Productions. But once again, we've got skills and tools that we can do it at a much greater level at a much faster pace. So I'll give you a brief description of the difference between micro, macro, and meta strategies here. Remember, the values and the belief systems are those things. So we've got macro strategies. Micro strategies. And meta strategy. Micro strategies is what we learned at practitioner training. We learned how to find out how somebody does a certain behavior. They run within a matter of moments inside somebody's mind. For example, the decision-making strategy or the love strategy. They may loop several times, but they run within a matter of moments. Micro strategies are going to be very important if you're modeling something such as pistol shooting. That's going to be extremely important to find out what that individual's micro strategies are that wind up producing that specific behavior. If you're modeling any type of performance type thing, you'll want to know that person's micro strategies. Now, as we said, Robert Diltz did his best to put together a working model of the micro strategies of Jesus, and I think he did a pretty darn good job. I was amazed at how much he was able to transfer through his modeling of Jesus. If you're interested in that, Robert Diltz has a audio series called The Visionary Leadership Tools of Jesus of Nazareth. Really, really nice. But it's a 4-cassette series. And I was surprised at what he was able to find by noticing what the representational systems were used, by breaking down the specific strategies that Jesus seemed to apply in terms of healing, by noticing the leadership systems that Jesus used. The Visionary Leadership Skills of Jesus of Nazareth. It's Robert Diltz. Now, macro strategies are going to be more like those. Let's take a look at the Visionary Leadership Skills. Your macro strategies would be larger based skills. For example, looking at the leadership. Jesus had a specific strategy in terms of leadership. He was into building leaders, which is what we could almost call meta leadership. So the meta leadership is leading other leaders. Because if he was the only means of transferring the message wouldn't have lasted. So he had disciples. He created other leaders. And that's meta leadership, is creating other leaders to get many leaders out there spreading the message. So that would, and that was kind of the strategy that he used. That was one of his macro strategies, was to develop other leaders. Other macro strategies that Jesus used was teaching through stories and metaphor and analogy. So when I look at macro strategies, I think of macro strategies as being triggered by the values and beliefs. So if you think, remember how we had a micro strategy? Like, let's say this is the decision-making strategy. And it ends up in the D. And that could be anything. It could be visual, auditory, digital, kinesthetic, for example, decision. A macro strategy would be the values and beliefs would be the trigger. The individual's values and beliefs would be the trigger. Here would be the trigger, like if we were looking at the TOTE model, T-O-T-E, TOTE. The trigger would be here. This would be the operations phase of the TOTE model. The next T or test would be over here, and the exit point would be the decision. If we were looking at, we would have to look at the values and beliefs as being the trigger of the macro strategy. The operations phase would be whatever it is that they used. For example, in let's say the values and the beliefs of a Richard Branson, he wants life to be a game worth playing. He likes adventure. He values adventure. He values fun. The operation, that would be the trigger. Fun and making life an adventure would be the trigger. The macro, the operations phase of the TOTE model would be ballooning, hot air ballooning. Right? That would end. That would all happen right there. So your macro strategy is going to be triggered by your values and your beliefs. Then the question is, what do the values and beliefs lead you to do, which is going to be the macro strategy that you run? The meta strategy is the strategy that causes you to choose all the other strategies. That's the overriding strategy or philosophy on life. Richard Branson's meta strategy might be something like living life to its fullest. And having fun, getting into businesses that are fun businesses to get into that make a difference. That would be his meta strategy. Jesus of Nazareth's meta strategy would be love, and he said that. He said he pretty much explained his meta strategy when he was once asked, "What's the rabbis got together and they said, what's the greatest commandment of them all? And he said, love the Lord God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. That would be his meta strategy. That was his overriding philosophy to everything that he did. Love the Lord God with all your heart and love thy neighbor as thyself. That was his meta strategy or the overriding philosophy. That caused him to choose all the other strategies that he chose. The macro strategies are triggered by the values and beliefs, and then they're the actions or they're the specific things that are done. For example, the financial strategies that I told you about of Rupert Murdoch with the Blue Book, or the Rupert Murdoch has specific strategies that he uses in terms of getting publicity and selling his newspapers, as well as Richard Branson has specific strategies that he uses in terms of getting publicity. Those strategies are triggered by the values and the beliefs. Those would be the macro strategies. We can find those out just by studying them. We need to know what their values and beliefs are. And then the micro strategies could be useful if it's a performance type thing. Like I find less use in the micro strategies of a Richard Branson or modeling that type of mindset. I don't think the micro strategies are as important, although they could play an important role if you wanted to go to that level of depth. Now, I might also want to know what that person's filter patterns are in terms of their meta programs. You can find meta programs if you find enough sources of information. You could actually compile and make a pretty accurate description of what their meta programs are. So the first step in modeling is to find a true role model of excellence. If you role model mediocrity, you'll get mediocrity. You'll reproduce mediocrity. So you've got to go out and find somebody who's just outstanding at what they do. Somebody who you look up to and you say, wow, this person is really excellent at what they do. Really outstanding. The best salesperson in the organization. I did this when I was first starting, when I was doing business consulting. I went and I found, I was working for Dale Carnegie Training, and I went and I found their best salespeople. And I did now most people when they do modeling, when they leave an NLP training, they just do it intuitively. They kind of watch and they don't really use the tools that we're teaching. I said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to really use these. So I said, can I meet with your, I met with the two best salespeople. I said, can I sit down with you for a little while? And they said, sure. And I elicited their values. I said, what's important to you in the context of your career? And I got all of their career values. Then, I remember the sales, I was talking to one of the salespeople, and he's like, he was impressed by what I was asking him. He's like, wow, this is crazy. He thought I was going to ask him about, you know, how do I do this or how do I do that? And he was impressed by the depth of what I was asking him. And I said, what's important to you in the context of your career? I found some interesting stuff out. Stuff that I didn't know. One of his highest values was seeing the transformation of the people within the organization, seeing the transformation of the people that he worked with. I thought, wow, that's useful to know. That was one of his highest values. And that was something that I took on. Then I got all the values. And I said, now, once I got all his values, I did his metaprogram elicitation. I found out what all of his metaprograms were. Then I found out specific strategies. I chunked down to specific strategies for how he did things. At the end of the meeting, I did about an hour meeting with him the first time. He stood up, and he was an older guy. He stood up, and he's like, you're going to be really good at this. And then he walked out. And I think he was shocked at what I was asking him. So that was extremely useful to me. One of the most useful things I ever did. And I've done that time and time again. Now I've gone on to modeling. I went in to model world leaders first. I started with world leaders. Martin Luther King Jr. was somebody I wanted to model in terms of speaking. I modeled some of the greatest speakers and leaders of all time. And then I got into spiritual leaders. And then I shifted to the billionaire mindset as I was preparing for Leadership Explosion. And I'm continuing that. But these things are quite useful. So let's take a look. But the whole thing is denominalization, taking some result and turning it back into a process that you can take on or teach to someone else. Let's turn to page 4-6.